from the horse capital of the world, the great city of Lexington, Kentucky. Welcome to Red Barn Radio. Wherever in the world you're listening, join us as we celebrate the music of Kentucky. Tonight, in a Red Barn Radio encore performance, Red Barn Radio welcomes Betsy Ellis. Red Barn Radio is brought to you with the financial support of Visit Lex, Lexington, Kentucky's Convention and Visitors Bureau. Planning to visit Lexington or just looking for more information, Visit Lex is on the web at visitlex.com. We're more than just bluegrass. LexArts, Lexington, Kentucky's Arts Council, creating a great American city inspired by the arts. The Paducah Visitors Bureau, Paducah, Kentucky, a UNESCO creative city of crafts and folk art, connects you to your creativity. Visit online at paducah.travel. Let's welcome the host of Red Barn Radio, Adam Luckey.
Good evening and welcome to this week's broadcast of Red Barn Radio. We're broadcasting from the heart of downtown Lexington, in the heart of the bluegrass, to wherever you are. Online, on the radio, or in the audience, we are so glad you're here this evening for another show dedicated to promoting, preserving, and performing the music of Kentucky and the surrounding areas. Remember that you can visit us anytime at redbarnradio.com. Stop by our Facebook page and stay aware with Twitter updates at Red Barn Radio. Be a part of the Red Barn family and know what's going on online anytime. Renowned fiddler Betsy Ellis is a founding member of the hillbilly riot band The Wilders and has struck out on her own. Her material is drawn from the traditional American, especially Ozark fiddle tunes, old songs and spirituals, and a dose of her personal old-time music. Her influences also include avant-garde artists like Talking Heads, punk pioneers The Clash, and 19th century art music composer Gabrielle Marie. Betsy Ellis embraces the sounds of previous singers, songwriters, and composers with her unique, engaging style. Let's give a Red Barn welcome to Betsy Ellis.
Thank you.
Here's Red Barn Radio's host, Adam Luckey, speaking with Betsy Ellis. Here's Adam.
Woo, indeed. Welcome, Betsy Ellis, to Red Barn Radio. Thank you so very much for joining us tonight. The energy is just infectious.
We're all getting a little feverish.
That's right. Tell us a little about how you got into fiddle playing. Would you consider the fiddle and the violin two separate things?
Well, my beloved instrument that I was just playing has been both and will be both forever and ever to me. But I did grow up playing violin. I started taking violin lessons when I was 6 years old, and I had some really inspiring teachers along the way. This was down in Fayetteville, Arkansas, so the Ozarks is my little, well, we like to call it mountains, but we know it's not really mountains deep down, but that's our mountains. And so that's what took me from Arkansas to Missouri. I went up to Kansas City to go to college. There's a conservatory of music there. And I went to school there and started getting exposed to, well, I was already exposed to a lot of different kinds of music. I just didn't really know how to play it. You know, the rock and roll and the new wave and punk rock that I was listening to when I was a kid, I didn't really know what to do with that yet. But going to Kansas City, one of the things that helped me get ready for other types of music on my instrument was joining up with the jazz band. My string quartet was invited to join in with the jazz band, thus making it a jazz orchestra, and I spent 3 years doing that. Now, we didn't get to improvise, but we were right there with it, and we're in the rehearsals, and we're hearing, you know, fellow students and then graduate students, too, and guest conductors and artists coming in, and we did some really interesting material. So that started turning me into some other ideas. You know, I became very enamored with Stefan Grappelli and the gypsy jazz styles, and I really liked that. Then Kansas City, besides being a jazz town, it's a great blues town. So right when I got done with college, I started going to these open mic blues nights and showing up with my violin. I'm like, I'm ready to play. Eventually, the path led me into traditional fiddling, and I guess bluegrass was my gateway. I like old school bluegrass and traditional bluegrass, but the old time music was something that, once it got under my skin, I couldn't get enough of it, and that's what I really celebrate to this day. Well, I think I'm going to take it down into something a little more tranquil for just a moment. And I have to say before I play this tune that I don't perform ever without thinking at least once, if not many times, about the late, great John Hartford, who's one of my heroes and an inspiration all of my life. And if you're not familiar with him offhand, you might have heard of the famous song, Gentle on My Mind, that Glenn Campbell recorded back in the late 60s, I guess it was. John Hartford was, besides being a fiddler and a banjo player, singer, guitar player, dancer, poet, songwriter, one of his other passions was being a steamboat captain. And actually, just down the road in Louisville, he was a sometimes captain of the Louisville Belle. And I had the great privilege of riding on that boat and a couple times for tribute cruises that they had during the IBMA Bluegrass Music Conference. And heard some stories about John Hartford from the captain there. And I just can't pass by that river without thinking about him, and so I was felt compelled, actually, to write this tune in tribute to John Hartford and his music and his memory, and so I called it Riverboat.
When did you get over the awkward phase for playing the violin? My house neighbor, You can hear the young child learning the violin, and at first it's the when it, you know, as you when just getting used to the sound. And the, when did you finally, I guess, get over that awkward phase and realize this was something that you were proficient at?
I don't remember my awkward phase. I'm sure my parents might, but I know that within a couple of years of starting to play, I already had opportunities to perform. This was in Fayetteville, Arkansas, is the main campus of the University of Arkansas, and they've got a really good theater department there. Well, the first thing I was in, I didn't play, and I was in Peter Pan. I was a flower, but they did a production of Gypsy. There's an audition, a vaudeville audition, and there are about four kids, and one, of course, who is Gypsy Rose Lee, or later to be called that, but I got to go up there and play the violin. Mom would remember, I'm like 8 or 9 years old, so within 2 or 3 at most years of starting to learn, I was out there performing, and I played Star Spangled Banner and variations in a dress that was like made to look like an American flag.
Did the ability...
roundabout answer.
Twilight is stealing over the sea. Shadows are falling dark on the lea. Born on the night winds, voices of yore come from that far off shore.
You've just joined us. This is Betsy Ellis on Red Barn Radio.
So the opportunity to perform made you want to get better. So
yeah, and I think it's also one of these things that I feel really blessed that I got to start playing violin at such an early age. My mom played piano before that. You know, she grew up playing piano, and we would like hang around the piano, and she'd play out of the Rodgers and Hammerstein songbook, and my ear training was already going way before that. And, you know, singing was something that I felt very much so. And then that combined with a really great first teacher who loved to teach kids. It was just a matter of, I wasn't shy. I got that part from my dad. And so also the other thing is, I think I lucked into it. I just found this instrument that, I mean, I don't know, my hands just came to it. And I mean, I didn't have struggles. I had lots of struggles growing up. And I used to think there were things I couldn't do. And I recognize those now as just more like struggles that we try to learn through and improve, you know. So motivation came from a lot of places, but not necessarily as a desire to perform. That was just a bonus.
Yeah, icing on the cake, as it were.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I like icing.
Was there music in the household, on the radio, or was it something always music playing for you?
Yeah, there was lots of music. My parents had a lot of Broadway soundtracks on vinyl, and some tapes, too. We had 1776, we had that on cassette for some reason, but we had, like, Man of La Mancha on LP. I remember me and my brother running around the house singing that stuff at the top of our lungs, and then radio, too. And my parents, they're more cultured music fans. They love going to the opera and everything. And we had classical music, you know, symphonic music at home. But then we were listening to the radio, and my brother helped get me excited about, like, classic rock and roll at first. And back in those days, sometimes on Sunday nights, there'd be different shows that would broadcast whole concerts from great classic rock bands, and so live music, even if it was through a radio speaker, was something that really appealed to me from an early age. Gosh, just always music. It started the thing inside my head. I can't turn it off. There's always something. It might be something I already know, or it might be something that just comes, but I've actually written things about that before, like that's a mention in one of my songs, like the music is just there.
Always there.
Yeah.
The golden flowers are dotting. I'm traveling on with a heavy load, though my feet are tired and my poor heart is sore. I plan to be home before the night is o'er. Golden road, the golden road.
Teachers, did you have any specific ones that really, I guess, made the passion, you know, even more palpable for you?
Well, so many, and you know, there were.
You mentioned.
Funny you say fiddle teachers, because my first teacher when I was six, and for the first like 4 or 5 years or so, he called it a fiddle, but in those days I thought that I didn't like that word at all. There was no country music in our house, and so I didn't like that word fiddle. It's actually just an ancient Gaelic word, Gaelic, actually, I believe. He was impassioned. He was a passionate performer, as well as a really endearing and you know, demanding, but in a happy way, kind of a teacher. And I had other good ones growing up, but when it comes to fiddle, I did have some really great teachers when I was transitioning into the fiddle styles, you know, in my later 20s. And there's a workshop, a week-long camp thing in West Virginia, and I went for 3 years in a row. It's at the Augusta Heritage Center there in Elkins, West Virginia. And first year I went, I was still, I wanted to fiddle, but I didn't really know what to do. I was listening to stuff and didn't know how to make sense of the bowings yet, and I saw a class listed, a lady named Susie Thompson was teaching fiddle, rags, and blues. I saw that word blues and remember what I said about Kansas City and playing the blues jams, and I said, oh, I can do that. I know how to play the blues, right. But I didn't know until I got there what the old-time fiddle blues were about. But it was still, I naturally took to those courses, and Susie Thompson was a great teacher. So she is my first fiddle teacher. Later years, I studied under Brad Leftwich, who taught a fiddle masterclass. He actually taught us how to learn from elder generation traditionalists, which was an invaluable experience. And then my last teacher those years was the late, great Art Stamper, Kentucky native. In fact, the first tune I played tonight, I played it without announcing it, but that instrumental I played, I wrote that in tribute to Art Stamper. And with a name like Stamper, I just wanted to get out there. So the name of that tune is Stamper.
Fantastic.
And he was a dear friend. And I had the opportunity to visit him a couple times at his home in Shepherdsville too. So he's somebody that stays with me in my heart forever.
So you're traveling again on the road. No end. The yellow lines remind you not to look too far behind you. You might not look forward again. And your ears begin to ring. Ah, you sing. The melodies inside your head, the ones you hear when you're in bed. And there's no instrument to play.
The sound of a tune gets in my head. Oh, what's that? Okay, I gotta learn that. Or sometimes I may see it listed on a recording somewhere more than, say, in a book. Although there are a few books I think are really great. It's good to have those records, but I don't learn the tunes from the written music. I learn them all by ear. But if I see a title that interests me, like there's one a tune I play, an Ozark tune I play that it's one of my favorite titles. The Wilders played this a lot. It's called Hawks Got a Chicken and Flew Into the Woods. And so I like animal tunes, so if there's an animal in the name, I'm automatically interested. And then if a tune title is a complete sentence, I really like that. And that one I liked so well, I put a parenthetical addition to it. So Hawks Got a Chicken and Flew Into the Woods, and then in parentheses, what are we going to do now? Because the hawk took our dinner, right? Okay, anyway. So there's all those things. And then in the early days, I remember listening to some fiddlers, and, well, Tim O'Brien was a great example. There were some things he played that were just so spellbinding, but I didn't know how to make sense of them. And I can make sense of those a little better now, but there are plenty of tunes out there that intrigue me, and I'm just not ready for them yet. So one of the things, too, that will draw me to if a tune makes sense to my ears, then it's probably going to make sense to my hands, you know. I do try to challenge myself, too, and try to dig into those tricky tunes. There are just so many. There's a million tunes out there, and yet, so why am I writing them might be the question. But that's that music that I hear in my head, too, that's just, it's there. It's part of that universe.
When you play the violin or the fiddle, however you'd like to say it. You're basically doing two things, two separate things. The bow is doing one thing, the fingers are doing the other on the other hand, but you're adding an element in singing and also percussion with stomping as well. Is that a difficult thing? Because I really don't see many fiddle players singing and playing at the same time. Is that something that you had? Like, I know that in the band, Levon Helm sings to the beat. A lot of drummers sing right on to that beat kind of thing. Is it something that moves along as well, or can you
You can definitely approach it like that, and that's how I got started. And that was another thing I learned from Brad Leftwich, too. He's a great proponent of singing with the fiddle. There's a handful of well-known, in the fiddle world, well-known, remarkable players and singers. Bruce Molsky is another one. I mean, Susie Thompson does some singing with the fiddle as well. But there's a great amount of material that just is drawn from, say, playing exactly what you're singing, and that's a great way in. Actually, Tim O'Brien is one of my heroes of playing more complicated rhythms underneath it. That's where it starts to get very, very tricky. And the other thing that can be tricky is singing harmony with the fiddle. Yeah. There are some examples in some songs that I do like that. I'm realizing, I might have to change up my set list to try to.
We heard a little
that.
Of that with the last song. The train
happens
sound
happens in John Henry. Yeah. The train whistle. That's a more recent addition. I was glad that happened one time. Yeah, that's the thing too. You can have a lot of satisfaction of singing with a fiddle, and it doesn't have to be complex. It's hard enough having two movable sources, the vocal cords and the neck of the fiddle, you want to try to match them. But then once you get comfortable with that, you can, build from it. I mean, I do some workshops on this nowadays, and I'm a big fan of working on your technique. So one of the things fiddlers do is play those double stops, two notes at a time, and building those up note at a time, you can work the voice in with that. And that's one way to start learning how to sing harmony with the fiddle. It's very practical. It's like looking at the chords on the piano, except you're doing it with your fiddle and your voice. So otherwise, it's the same.
We'll be back with more from Betsy Ellis after this break. You're listening to Red Barn Radio.